Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We welcome you to the continuation of the Holy Name Festival here in Houston. Actually, when we first came to Bombay with Srila Prabhupada, we were invited to a program at a very aristocratic gentleman's home. He had a big lawn, and the disciples arrived before Srila Prabhupada, and the gentleman told us that today is a very auspicious day. It's a holiday. And he named a holiday that we had never heard of. So when Srila Prabhupada arrived, we asked him, you know, we told him what the gentleman had said, and we asked him, is today a holiday? He said, yes. For us, every day is a holiday. We are Christian servants. Every day is a festival for chanting the Holy Name. So, I'd love to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And our authorities tell us that the essential theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the glorification of the Holy Name. It comes at the beginning, and it comes at the end, the very end of glorification of Sankirtan. And in the middle, the most carefully protected portion is a comprehensive glorification of the Holy Name in relation to the story of Ajahn. So here we're reading from the beginning of Shukadeva Goswami's instructions. And this important verse explains for whom the chanting of the Holy Name is beneficial. And if you listen carefully to the description, you will find yourself in this verse. Whatever category you're in, and you're in some category, the Holy Name is beneficial for you. And then we will also hear how to chant the Holy Name. Of course, anyone can chant in any way, but to get the full benefit, one should chant in a particular way, as described. We'll use our time in the best way, to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. e cambi metti a parla e c'è tam acuto There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, people are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge of the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world, nor desire to get out of it. They are at the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord. In this verse, Sri Sukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of chanting his glories develops successively. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on different important words in the verse itself. And one of the important words is very small, but it is filled with meaning. And the word is Anu. Anu actually has two meanings. One is to follow, like Ramanuja. And another meaning is continuous. So one should continuously chant the holy name, following the ways of the authorities. In other words, as Srila Prabhupada said, one should receive the holy name from the lips of a pure devotee. The process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but even for those who are materially attached. It's a very important point that for success in any pursuit, we require the mercy of the Lord. And even for material pursuits, we need the mercy of the Lord. According to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, this way of obtaining success is established, is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need for further evidence. So the next point is how to chant following the way of great authorities, how to chant offense less deep. Shiva Jiva Goswami instructs that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be done loudly, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. Who knows the verse from Bhagavad Gita that tells us we can be delivered from all sins by surrendering to the Lord? Yes, Sarvadharma Puritya Mam Ekam Sarvadharma. Aham Aham Sarvadharma Yom Mokshayi Sambhasya. So that is very good. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord. How? One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of His holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. So the essential point here, and in any discussion of the holy name, is that the holy name is first, the holy name is Krishna, Namaji, Namani, Krishna, Chaitanya, Vasudeva. So, if we remember that the holy name is a person, we can quite easily understand what would offend him. So the holy name is sending preachers throughout the world to tell people about the holy name and the Lord. And so if you criticize such a creature or vilify such a creature, naturally the holy name will feel hurt, feel offended. I don't have a personal experience, but I've heard that when children are playing, and if someone sort of beats up on a child, the parents become very upset, which is natural. So the preachers are like the favored children of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains it, that every child is dear to the parent, but the child who's most dependent on the parent gets the most attention, naturally. And so the preacher who goes out and takes all risks to propagate the message of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna. He's the most attempted of the Lord. And therefore the Lord is the most attempted to him. Srila Prabhupada was giving the example, it was very hot. And, you know, like the sun is beating down and you're walking on, you know, dry sand or pavement, that will hurt your feet more than the sun beating directly on your head. In the same way, the Lord is hurt more when we offend his devotees or give pain to his devotees than we criticize and correct. The second offense is to see the holy name of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish the names of the Lord as material commodities. You can see how liberal Srila Prabhupada and Vaishnavas are, that they encourage the chanting of the holy name in any language, by any nomenclature, in any community. Once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples when Prabhupada was visiting Tehran, he became very sort of emotional and eloquent, and he was like looking forward to the day when all the inhabitants of Iran would chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, we are not so scared. They can chant Allah. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was very practical also, so he might have envisaged the consequences of trying to convert the inhabitants of Iran to all chanting Hare Krishna. So he said, we are not so terrible, they can chant Allah Allah. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. Actually, Vedaisa Sarvaya made the Veda. The purpose of all the Vedas is to know Krishna. And so to vilify those scriptures is really an offense against the Lord. And the Lord himself is not on his name, and therefore it's an offense against the holy name. And there are several ways of committing offenses. Of course, we may or may not openly express our doubts about the scriptures. But not reading the scriptures it shows them an offensive hell. It's a neglect, and it's a neglect that is based on some sort of subtle contempt. so that that's offensive. We may not have taste for reading the scriptures or chanting the holy name. But Rupa Goswami gives the example that a person who is suffering from jaundice may, that the cure is sugar candy. But because of that disease, the sugar candy tastes bitter. But still, one takes it as a prescription from the doctor. And as one takes that sugar candy and gradually is restored to health, that sugar candy, which tasted very bitter at first, gradually tastes sweeter and sweeter. And then when one is completely cured, one can taste it as it is, which is sweet. So we may not have taste due to our conditioned state of ignorance, but still, if we take the medicine, we'll gradually become cured, and then we will be able to taste and relish healthy persons, the persons who are liberated from that disease condition. The fifth offense is to defile the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshiper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. His Holiness Satchinanda Swami, who has conducted many retreats for the chanting of the holy name, japa retreats and kirtan retreats, has said that unless we actually experience the wondrous effects of chanting the holy name without offense, one will tend to think that the descriptions are exaggerations. And that in and of itself is an offense. So we really want to experience the truth of the scriptures. He said it in a way devotees can be like, in his own German, quaint term of way. He says devotees can be like schizophrenics. They can have like split personalities. They have very high theoretical knowledge that they can speak, but they don't actually experience what they say. And so there's this big gap within their personality, which creates many problems. And the way to close that gap is for the devotees to have actual experience of the mercy of the holy name, which comes from chanting it without offense, following the ways of the great authorities of continuously, as far as possible, like we've been doing these days. And I think many of us have experienced that as we've been chanting more and more, it's becoming sweeter and sweeter. So we want to keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting. Tomorrow's another day, more chanting, and said special apostles. Devout chanters gathered together. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that this method of chanting the holy name will give you protection. So, there are so many examples. One of the most famous is the example of Jedi and Mahai, who were extremely sinful, but they surrendered under the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and took up the chanting of the holy name and gave up all of their previous sinful activities. So that is possible. However sinful one may have been, he can become free from the reactions to those sins by chanting. But if one is like very cunning and calculating and thinks, oh, you know, I can do this wrong thing or that bad thing, and then I'll chant and I'll neutralize the effects, that is the worst offense. There's no way to get free from the reactions. So, I'm hopeful that no one in this audience is of that mentality. If that thought crosses your mind, you should throw it out. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefit, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but it should never be utilized for such purpose. Since the holy name and the Lord are one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's service or ordered supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. So, one year in Bombay, there was a conference at the Bharatiya Bhavan about the preaching of the Bhagavad Gita. The organizers invited Sri Prabhupada to be like the president of the function. And before the opening event, Mrs. Kanayalal Munshi, who was the chairman of Bharatiya Vidyabhavan, had a tea for all the leaders who had come to the event. So one of them, he had a few beard, he said to Srila Prabhupada that he has big gatherings, and he calls, you know, thousands and thousands of people together, and he tells them that by chanting the holy name, they'll become free from diseases, and there are all sorts of material benefits from chanting the holy name. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, you are gathering people together, I'm gathering people together, and you are getting them to chant the holy name, and I'm getting them to chant the holy name. So we should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are proposing is against our principles. The holy name is Krishna. We are servants of the holy name. We are meant to carry out the orders of Krishna and the holy name. We are not meant to engage Krishna in our service. So these are subtle offenses. But to really get the nectar, you know, Nāmrita Svādhanam, to get the nectar that we're hankering from the others, become free from these subtle and gross offenses. And at the end, we'll discuss an easy way how we can do that. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is to be considered an offense at the feet of the holy name. So we can engage anyone in chanting, but if we glorify the holy name to them, and they don't have faith, then they may take the glorification as some sort of illusion. I mean, there's so many different ways that they could misunderstand it, and thus commit offenses, you know, against the scriptures that glorify the holy name, against the devotees who glorify the holy name, and against the holy name himself. And but sometimes we speak in an open audience, and we can't really know who's going to be in the audience and how they might take it, and that's one of the risks that the preacher takes. When Srila Prabhupada spoke at the Harvard Divinity School, and he spoke about chanting, so one of the students at that when Prabhupada asked the question, one of the students said, well, you're saying we should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Well, can't we get the same result just by repeating any words? Like by counting. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And Prabhupada chuckled and said, of course, that is not possible. But if you want, you can try counting. And when you get tired of counting, somehow or other. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world is meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I am mine. So this is the truth. This is a false ego. We think that we are the enjoyers. and that everything is meant for our pleasure, and everything should be arranged for our enjoyment. His Grace Gurijan, who also, gives seminars said, it's like everyone is walking around, and what's really going on inside is they want to say, excuse me, I have an important announcement to make. I am the center of the universe, and everyone should do exactly what I want. So imagine this. How many billions of people, and they're all walking around wanting, at least in some way, to make that announcement. Or as he put it another time, it's like we all envision ourselves as the hero or heroine of a movie. And we feel that everyone else should be the supporting cast and just make us the supreme hero or heroine. And then when they don't do it, when they don't act according to their role, we get upset, we get disturbed. So every one of us is walking around in this movie that we're the stars of, and we want everyone else to be the supporting cast and make everything just right for us. So naturally, there's a conflict. Many conflicts. So chanting means to become free from this false egoism. It means that we understand that Krishna is the center, and we are all his servants. And with Krishna as a center, we can all cooperate for his pleasure. And that way our relationships will also become very congenial and harmonious. Now there's Sanskrit is such that it can be read in different ways, the way the words are combined. And in one division of the Ten Offenses, the word pramada is taken as an offense, which means to be inattentive. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that inattention is the root of all the other offenses. If we're inattentive when we chant, then all the other offenses will flourish. And if we're attentive while we chant, all the other offenses will be destroyed. So chanting with attention is the first priority. And there are many techniques to sit straight and but the mind, we have to keep the mind focused on the holy name. And as the Bhagavad Gita says, wherever the mind wanders, one should bring it back to the self. So that's our endeavor when we chant. And there are different aids. One that I like sometimes is to see the holy name, and then as I'm chanting, my eyes focus on the words for the holy name, and then my voice articulates the holy name, and many devotees have commented. Because the chanting is a prayer, and so we may be in the mood of praying while we're chanting. And so many devotees have suggested that to keep it simple, we should pray to be able to hear the holy name. It's one mantra at a time. Don't worry about the last one that you where your mind wandered. Don't worry about the next moment. But just focus on the one you're chanting. And you really can't even focus on the whole mantra at one time. You can only really focus on one name, the one syllable. And that should be our prayer, our first prayer. The other way, as the Srila Prabhupada said, that the chant is like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. So we like cry out. That's another way. Automatically, if you're in that mood of crying out, calling out in a personal way, Hare, the energy of Krishna, Radha, Krishna, then naturally you'll be thinking of them. You're calling out to them. You'll be thinking of them. But then if they respond internally and say, what do you want? What do you ask for? Huh? More chanting. That is a very good answer. Very good answer. It should come from our heart, whatever we pray for, but we should, and that's why reading the scriptures is so important, to like remind us of who we are and what the goal of life is, and what the real nature of the ephemeral world is. In the Nectar of Devotion, the text is translated, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments, even in spite of hearing so many instructions on the matter. So it's the reason we maintain material attachments. I mean, we have them when we come. That's something else. That's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an anartha, but it's not an offense. But hold on to them is and the reason we hold on is because we don't have faith in the holy name. We don't have faith that Krishna will fulfill our desires. That Krishna will make us happy. We think we need all these other things to make us happy. But anyway, but if you just, you know, put yourself into the chanting, then you'll feel it. You'll feel it. So many of the things that we're talking about will be revealed in your heart. You'll realize all these things by the grace of God. Madhava, would you like to say a few words? I really have deep realizations on this subject. But anyway, your answer was good. Once a newspaper reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, sort of a challenge, that what will this chanting accomplish? And Srila Prabhupada replied, chanting accomplishes chanting. The more you chant, the more you chant. And that's really, that really is our goal. And that will continue in the spiritual world. Chant, chant, chant. Srila Prabhupada used to quote this cartoon he saw in a newspaper or magazine, that a husband and wife are sitting across from each other, next to each other. And the wife would say, chant, chant, chant. And the husband would say, can't, can't, can't. So with the same effort that it took to say, you know, can't, 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 he would have said, Hare Krishna. So that, that's our false ego. And don't chant Krishna. Thank you. We should be chanting your name. You know, why do you glorify Krishna? We should be glorifying you. But that's our false ego. And the agent of the false ego is the mind. So when these thoughts come to the surface, at any time, it's good to disregard them, especially those chanting. We just disregard them. They can be a really, they can threaten, you know, like, if you keep doing this, you know, I'm going to really get you later. You know, the mind can really act up like that. But we have to understand it's just no reality, just keep chanting them. Don't get any attention. All right, thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. I'm a runner.
Maharaji, I have heard from some acharya, they start chanting Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Before, like we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they chant Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. So, between the two,
what's the question?
Acharya start the Maha Mantra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Like we started, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they start Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So very good. That's very good. You want them to chant Hare Rama. Or I don't think we should worry about that. We have more important things to worry about. But our minds. Yes.
So, after chanting many times and continuously abiding by the chanting, at some point the materialistic desires like the position and the worry about money, those will drop off naturally?
Yes. That's what the Bodhi today quoted, a line from a Venus song. I don't know if it's part of your cultural background. Oh, my troubles seem so far away. And you chant, you know, Ankirtana. Yes. It doesn't mean we don't do our duty. That's another thing. We do our duty. But we just have more faith in Krishna and the holy name, and the holy name makes arrangements. I mean, this might not happen in every case, but there was one couple who came to a Java retreat we had in New Vrindavan, and they had some event back at their place in North Carolina. And they had to get back. They felt they had to make arrangements. But you know, I wanted to speak with them, and somehow they agreed, and we had a nice talk. And so they got back and they went. And they found that someone had cut their grass, cleaned the house, fill the refrigerator with fresh food. Like everything that they were worried about having to do themselves was taken care of by the grace of the Holy Maker. I mean, they lived in a devotee community, but still that was extraordinary. It never happened before. So if the Lord helps, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And Srila Prabhupada said that in the context of the life of a devotee, the meaning of the saying, God helps those who help themselves, is that the devotee puts himself in the presence of transcendental sound. That's how you help yourself. And the other thing we can do is a special way to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the first of his mercy, is to spread the chanting, to spread the knowledge of Vaikuntha. Going out of chanting, bringing people into chant, distributing books, we also get a special mercy, and that helps us in our chanting and our fulfillment of our real purpose and our informed way. Thank you very much. I just saw His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Govinda Swami is here now. He's sitting at the back. So, Hare Krishna.